This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Christina Thomas.
We're inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and three musicians are with us. I'm going to ask the three of you to introduce yourselves, if you would, please.
I'm Matt Cartier.
Pete Howard.
And Gretchen Schlump.
And collectively?
Fork and Knife.
The music that you guys play as Fork and Knife is older than you are, considerably.
Yes.
Pete, you and I have talked about this before on other occasions. What is the attraction to the music that makes you love it so much, research it so much, and play it so often?
Well, the energy of it and the fact that it's homemade, you know. And it's native to the area is the other thing that we're attracted to it.
Yeah, native to this region is real big drive for us. It's kind of the pre-radio music from this region, you know, so it kind of informs it. It's a bit of the culture from this region, you know, stretching back to kind of the beginnings of people being here. So, or not people, but the settlers that came across. So, we really enjoy that connection to the local area and the land that it comes from. So,
definitely is a homegrown entertainment, and you can really feel that when you're playing the music and having a square dance, and it's just the musicians and the caller and the dancers, and there's no paid entertainment. It's just everybody in a community entertaining themselves. It's really a great joy.
You know, that let's entertain ourselves, let's put on a show, and everyone is at least some part, especially in square dance. It's everyone participating, or everyone's invited anyway.
Right, musicians and dancers, right?
Because square dance is a traditional music form, and it's been around for a long time, and you do see it from time to time celebrated here. I know that Prairie Grove takes great pride during the Labor Day.
The Clothesline Fair.
The Clothesline Fair, exactly. Thank you, Christina. And so there are obviously roots all throughout the South, but in the Ozarks too. But how many people, you know, under 80 have square dance? Not a lot. So help us, walk us through what a good square dance involves.
Well, it's a good band and a good caller. The band is playing, you know, usually traditional tunes and has a good drive to it. It's real. The fiddle is fairly essential.
Totally essential.
And just kind of what they put into the music, the sprightliness that they put into the music is kind of the real driving behind the music. The guitar generally is more of the bass instrument. You have a caller, and the caller basically is there to, one, teach you how to do the dance if you don't know how to do it, and then kind of throughout the whole dance they basically call and tell you what to do, but as well as just telling you what to do, they have little rhymes that goes along with everything that kind of keeps time with the music and injects its own energy into the dance. So, and then the dancers, you know, the combination of those instruments, the dancers definitely feel that, and that kind of really pushes the squares around the floor. So,
the fiddle tunes are regional that we play, but Matt has done a lot of research into calls, square dance calls that come from the Ozarks. And there's a lot that have been collected. Vance Randolph collected some, and some are, you know, standard, and some of them kind of verge on the risque as well.
A little bit body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Matt throws in him every once in a while.
Only late night.
Late night.
Yeah, late night.
Those are usually house dances.
Yeah. Yep.
So help, the caller is very important, and it sounds like it can be something of a stressful.
Yeah, the caller.
The responsibility is laying there, right?
Yeah,
there.
Definitely. I mean, you're definitely the interaction. You're definitely the one responsible for all the dancers to have fun, you know, and that's the essential thing about square dancing. It's really all about having fun, you know. It's if you screw up a square dance, it's really just as much fun as dancing it right, usually, you know. So so there is a lot of, you kind of have to be a real good teacher real quick and a real good caller and know the music well and know the dances real well and be able to kind of judge the dancers and kind of figure out where they're at and get them to kind of be in a fun place. So
we've been talking a lot about square dance. Can we hear some music?
Let's do
Sounds
it.
Great.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to play a tune that comes from a fellow named Bill Blue, who was from Southwest Missouri, And he was the uncle of Mark Ballou, who's a singer-songwriter and also played with Big Smith for years. And this guy was recorded, Bill Ballou was recorded by Library of Congress back in the late 40s. And so we learned this off of the Library of Congress recording. It's called Rabbit in the Briar Patch. And I haven't heard it anywhere else.
Okay. Fantastic. What's great about this music is that it doesn't have to be exactly like you ever heard it, because that's part of the tradition, right? Mm-hmm. Putting your own spin on it.
A little bit. We've been trying to get pretty close to the sound that we heard. The banjo is kind of an added thing here on this. They didn't have banjo on that original recording, but had guitar and fiddle, and the guitar player was a lot more wild and rambunctious than Gretchen. He was a lot of fun to listen to, but he probably would have thrown the dancers off the dance floor with his speed, I think.
So this particular, you mentioned that Library of Congress recorded it. I guess you don't have any music to read. You just have, this is by ear?
Yep. Sure is. Learned by ear.
Almost all the music that we learned is by ear. We don't, I guess I don't even read music. I'm sure Pete does, but but most of the time we just actually listen to the recordings and learn that way. So it is still an oral tradition. Yep. So the music doesn't quite, the printed music doesn't quite give the lilt and the drive that the fiddle tunes actually contain. If you don't listen to them, they sound real flat and mundane, kind of. But it's the actual players who kind of put the real drive behind it that makes it amazing.
Can we hear something else?
Sure. What else we got, Matt? This is a tune from a fellow who lived up in southern Missouri. His name was Uncle Bunk Williams. And he was recorded back in the 70s. He was real old, and he played kind of scratchy. But this one really stuck out real clean. It's called Old Pete, no relation to me. And it has one of those ancient sounding mountain melodies to it. We like it a lot. Banjo fits in there real well.